Today's audiocast for Monday, May 22nd, 2006 is made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. Owners of Lycoming 360 and 540 series are facing FAA action in the form of an airworthiness directive. The good news is that the affected group is only about 100 large and is comprised only of those owning engines that incorporated specific connecting rods manufactured by ECI Engine Components Incorporated. The bad news is that if your engine has been opened at any time since it was boxed up by Lycoming, you need to check your logs to look for part numbers that would make you part of the unlucky 100. The FAA says the problem started with a faulty grinding machine at ECI's San Antonio plant and ended with one Cessna 172 having an engine failure. Both ECI and the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association have takes contrary to the FAA's findings and action. ECI has brought attention to contributing factors in that one Cessna's engine failure, specifically an oil blockage. AOPA has spoken out too, saying the FAA had not presented significant evidence to support its expressed safety concerns. But the FAA says the ECI production defect has been confirmed again. The important part is that if your engine has been opened at any time since it was originally shipped by Lycoming, you need to check its logs for the addition of an affected rod. The AD goes into effect June 22nd. Visit AvWeb online to find a link to the AD in our newswire complete issue. You'll find it at avweb.com. With a deadline for contract negotiations looming, legislative efforts have been launched in the House of Representatives to prevent the FAA from imposing its best offer contract on air traffic controllers. If the main issue is something other than pay increases for controllers, both parties have been doing a good job of hiding it. Representatives Jerry Costello, a Democrat from Illinois, and Sue Kelly, a Republican from New York, have introduced what's called a discharge petition to force a vote on Bill H.R. 4755, which would send the dispute to binding arbitration. A discharge petition is a rarely used mechanism that allows the rank-and-file membership of the House to override the power of leadership members to suppress bills they don't support. So far, chances that the effort might work look favorable. Meanwhile, an organization called the Heritage Foundation, a self-described conservative think tank, has tossed its 2 cents into the ring. Not surprisingly, Heritage Foundation researcher Donald D. Utt, Ph.D., says Congress should stay out of the way, keep the process the same, and let the FAA's final offer stand as a first step toward radical reform of the agency. The foundation says air traffic control should be completely privatized, and the privatization or commercialization of other arms of the agency should also be explored. If all goes well, there will be a great virtual gathering in Poland this weekend. A special breed of pilots launching from all over the world are expected to converge on the controlled airports in Poland on May 28th in a six-hour effort to raise money for cystic fibrosis victims. Each landing will accumulate points toward the cause, and the tougher the flying, the more money will be raised. The more adventurous will be heading to smaller Polish airports where non-radar ATC services are in effect. There's a two-point bonus for those, while others might be content to do touch-and-goes at the country's biggest airports in Warsaw and Krakow. An army of controllers will be waiting for them, doing their best to manage the traffic, but not terribly concerned about crashes. For while the fundraiser is real enough, it's in honor of a young Polish controller who died of CF a year ago. All participants will be members of the Virtual Air Traffic Simulation Network, or VATSIM. So in the most realistic worst-case scenarios, the only things crashing will be hard drives. As life passes, so too a new life is born. And here at AvWeb, we pay our respect to Cliff Garl, who last week began life anew when he satisfied a lifelong dream and soloed a Cessna 172 over Arlington Airport in Washington. Cliff Garl is 91 years old, and that places him in some very rare air. Joe Bennett, his 75-year-old instructor, told the Seattle Times he didn't know of anybody, even in their 80s, who'd soloed. And FAA records for 2004 found by the paper didn't uncover any student pilots over the age of 90 in 2004. They found 59 in their 80s, and as might be expected, the medical was Garl's biggest obstacle. Even though he's in good health and has blood pressure, which at 120 over 70 more closely resembles that of a healthy teenager, still the medical process took months to complete. Garl may have expressed the youthful spirit that made all of this possible when he told the Times he often thought of the lengthy medical certification process as simply a question of who was going to outlast who. Congress has trimmed funding for the deployment of unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs, for Border Patrol duties until the military can explain what caused a Predator UAV to crash in Mexico last month. As AvWeb reported, the UAV went out of control in the early morning of April 25th while scanning for drug runners and illegal immigrants. Cause of the crash wasn't immediately known. According to the AOPA, funding appropriations of $6.8 million for 2007 were cut by Congress until U.S. Customs and Border Protection releases a report on the crash. However, UAVs could theoretically be back in the air October 1st when the new budget takes over. Two announcements this week are case in point for the diversity of the newly regulated light sport category of aircraft. Nexair of Colorado Springs announced that its LS-1, an all-composite low wing with a swooping fuselage, is ready for its first flight. Meanwhile, beleaguered Renaissance Aircraft said it found a home at Flabob Airport in Riverside, California, and will produce an LSA version of the Luscombe 8, a 1940s tail dragger there. Nexair showed its futuristic mock-up at AirVenture last year, and the company said it's got plenty of response to the design, which looks like it's going fast sitting on the ground. Imports and exports are a complicated game. What's cheaper to make here and easier to sell there is not always an easy riddle to solve. But China South Airlines seems to have found its solution in the Canadian province of New Brunswick, where a flight school says it will train up to 900 pilots for the airline over the next 5 years. Officials of Moncton Flight College of Moncton, New Brunswick, says they expect to sign the $70 million deal in the next few days after more than 5 years of inspections, negotiations, and renovations. The college did a $6 million in Canadian dollars expansion. Among other things, the agreement crowns New Brunswick as a location of note in the international flight training market. It's been 16 months of hard work, but what a prize Robert Simon got at the end. The Columbus, Ohio pilot and home builder recently flew his Lancair ESP for the first time. The P stands for pressurized, but it could also mean pretty darn fast. Simon reports his four-place fixed-gear aircraft, Lancair suggests a Continental TSIO 550E, cruises at 260 knots indicated airspeed at 25,000 feet with the occupants in shirt-sleeved comfort. Please note, Lancair's website says builders should expect 293 miles per hour at 24,000 feet from a standard trim ESP. Simon says his aircraft has a high-speed range of 1,300 nautical miles. Again, Lancair's website currently quotes 1,200 statute miles for its kit. And if you're headed to EAA AirVenture in Oshkosh this summer, Simon expects to have his Lancair on display at Lancair's booth. Simon believes, though several other ESP builders are nearing completion, his aircraft is the first to fly. We like aviation art as much as anyone, but we suspect an Italian artist's interpretation of the term could be questionable in the minds of some. Paolo Pivi borrowed an apparently well-used Westland Wessex helicopter and had it placed greasy side up in a public square in Salzburg, Austria. The 9,000-pound helicopter comes from what the Helicopter Museum in Somerset, England calls its reserve collection and is a complete aircraft. It will be flopped upside down on the square until the end of July. At least Peavy didn't stretch too far in naming his art. He's calling it Upside Down Helicopter in a Public Place. The exhibit apparently is part of the 200th anniversary celebrations for the composer Mozart. The prize is an AvWeb cap for anyone who can make sense out of that one. Find all these stories and more detail, plus AvWeb's podcast index, online today at avweb.com. Comments on this podcast are always welcome. You can email us at audionews@avweb.com. This report was written by Glenn Pugh and made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. For more information, click on the AudioCast sponsors link. Look for AvWeb's next AudioCast on Friday, May 26th. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening.